Did I not do? No? Oh, yes. Good. All right. So if you didn't hear that part, we're going to be in Philippians. But before we go to Philippians, I wanted to go over something from last week, and that has to do with 1 Timothy and Titus. That's just going to look at it very briefly. But as we go through Philippians, I want you to remember that Christ is all. He is our all. And so in this first chapter, it's going to be looking at Christ as our life. He is the one that is sustaining us. He is the one who we can trust. He is the one who we ought to be trying to be more like. So today we're going to be talking about appreciation, but I want to look at this one part real quick, and we'll go back to that. I don't want you to look at all this and try to figure all this out. All the arrows are just basically saying, look, there are places where they match. I would focus on one column and just kind of take a look at one of the columns because they're very similar. But it's this idea of servant leaders have these things in common. Their desires to be more like Christ. This is not perfect people. They are not, they don't have everything together, but they are known for those good things that are up there, and they're not known for the bad things that are up there. Does that make sense? And so what we're trying to do as part of church is to disciple men, women. So we have deaconesses, we have elders and deacons, which are the men, and their lives ought to look like these things. Does that make sense? So last week we talked about servant leaders, about there needs to be unity in the church and there needs to be good male leadership in the church if the church is going to continue. And so this morning as we look at that, I'd like to go back. This was the principle from last week. So here at New Buffalo, as we mature and grow, our dedication to mentoring and developing qualified leaders is extremely important. It is that passing on and continuing with what has been taught here that will keep going. That will not stop when Ken leaves or Paul or Rick or anybody else, but it continues to move on into the future. And that should be our desire. We need to be doing this. All right, so I'm hoping that this is part of what you want to be. That your desire is to become more like this so that we can have plenty of leaders in the church. That should be our desire. So today, as we get into this next part, I just want to share with you this. I didn't get to share with you last week, but I want to share with you a friend of mine. His name is Jeb, and Jeb is part of Fellowship Christian Athletes. I don't know if you've heard of that, but they're in high schools, they're in colleges, and they try to train coaches who are Christians to help lead younger people to know Christ and to live for Christ and make decisions that are good for him. And he and I spoke this past week, and one of the things that he prayed for, he does not know you. He doesn't even know where Duncannon is, if you believe it or not. But now he does. He has a better idea now. But his thing that he prayed for as we were getting off the phone was unity in the church and the development of male leadership. It's like, how did he know that? And part of it is because that's what every church needs. Every church needs it. We need to be doing it. He's been a part of helping to develop young men to follow after Christ. And so this guy, Jeb, who you don't know, but now he kind of knows a little bit about you, he's been praying for me. He's praying for you. He's praying for us as a church. And isn't it neat? This is one of the things I think that's so exciting about Christianity, is that we're connected. You don't even know him, and there are a number of other people, believe it or not, who are praying for this church. And that's pretty exciting that you have people you don't know. Maybe you'll meet them in heaven. But it's neat when you have people who are, their desire is to see good things happen, and yet you don't even know them. So I would, what I'd like to do is spend a moment in prayer. We'll look at what we're going to read through in Philippians, and we'll get to it because it's a great passage of encouragement this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll take a look at this. So Father, we thank you for this time to continue to worship you, to spend time together in your word, to grow and mature in you. Help us, Lord, to do that. We give you praise and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm so grateful for so many of the men that are involved. And that was one of the things that I shared with our small group this morning. And it's just great to see men involved in church. And one day we'll get into a little bit more of that, why that's so important. But it really is. And we need to keep developing that. One of the things that Rick prayed for last week was that we need to keep going. We need to prepare people for the work of the ministry. All the saints need to be involved in this. And just how important that is. And again, as Paul said, tells us in Philippians 1, just how important that is. And we got into a little bit of that with, they left Luke in Philippi so he could help develop the church. That was his reason for being there. So we'll see how Paul reacts to that today. So in this, Philippians 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, the elders and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, just a pause on that, but this idea of that first day until now, it has been, in other words, it's continuing. And as we looked at last week, Paul is seeing them almost 8 years after this church started and these things are happening. So back to this. But that first day until now, verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmment of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with affection, with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then verse 9, 10, and 11. And I wasn't advancing the slide, I apologize. But 9, 10, 11. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. So last week we talked about a few different words that we see in the book of Philippians. And in there we saw the words joy and rejoice. That's one of the themes of this book, is this idea of joy and rejoice. So remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He's been on missionary journeys. He's had some difficulties, let's say, in his life. And yet he's talking about joy and rejoice. And that's something that we can take from this. Not only that, this week, get into a little bit more on the idea of thankfulness, having gratitude. That's not always easy when difficulties come our way, but to be thankful and have gratitude in our hearts and in our minds as we go throughout our day. And we'll see this idea of thankfulness. We'll be looking at some verses in that, 3 through 4, verse 8. And then also in chapter 4, we see that again. But this idea of thankfulness is there. One of the things that I like about this, and it doesn't always come out with what Paul writes, but we get to see his heart. We get to see what's really on his mind. Here's a person that we want to be more like. And sometimes it sounds like he comes across a little bit hard in a way. But here we get to see his heart. We get to see that strong affection, that tenderness that he has for really all people. But here we really get to see it. And I think that's something that's important for us to see, especially from him. One of the things that we looked at last week, for whom he prays, pastors, deacons, these are in the notes that you have, but for saints, for all believers. And when he prays, every time I think of you, there's nothing that he's gone through with them that brings a bad memory to his mind. But instead he's like, I am so grateful for you. He also prays with a heart filled with joy. One of the things that I wanted to share with you and just to look at with this is Hebrews 13:17. I'm going to read it for you. You can go there as well. But Hebrews 13:17 says this: obey your spiritual leaders and what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow, because that would certainly not be to your benefit. But isn't it interesting that this idea, when we have good leaders, hopefully godly leaders, who are being a good example, we want you to follow. And that's not to question anything or to that you don't understand something, but eventually to follow. Why? Because we're following after Christ. Look at what Paul says. He said to follow me because I follow Christ. And that's what we as the leaders of this church is our desire. We want you to follow us. Why? We want more leadership in this church. We want more men and women who are trained to do the work of the ministry. So what we need to learn to express appreciation for those involved in the church and sharing the gospel. This is part of good leadership and this is part of good fellowship. To build each other up and express sincere appreciation for those involved in the ministries of the church. So I want to share a little bit. We're going back to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at a couple other chapters in the Bible. We'll go to look at Philippians 4. We'll go move ahead. Acts chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians 8 will be some of the other ones. But I bring this up because it talks about this koinonia, this partnership, this fellowship. And you know the word koinonia. You've heard that before. But it's this partnership and fellowship that Paul is looking for. That is, he has been shown from the first day. So what I wanted to share with you in Acts 16, verse 13, it talks about this first day. What does he mean by the first day? So when we go back and take a look at Acts 16, it says, on the Sabbath day, Paul would go to the synagogue, however there was none, because there were not enough adult men. And they needed to have a minimum of 10 for a synagogue to form. They didn't have enough. So Paul went to the riverside and met Lydia, who was meeting with other women for prayer. And you see that in Acts 16, 15. Lydia had a household, and there is no mention of a husband, but she had a household. She had servants in her care. And one of the things that's interesting, because of the business, if you remember, she dealt with purple dye and textiles, and because of the business that she had in her home, she lived in a big home. It was big. And not only that, she invited Paul and Silas and Timothy to stay in her house. And she was so excited that they were proclaiming the gospel to people. She wanted them to stay there. And we're not told how long they stayed, but what we do know is it was certainly weeks, probably months, that they stayed with her. And then what also happened as a result, again, Luke stayed in Philippi, and he, for the next 8 years, probably stayed with her. And Paul says this, I am grateful from the first day when I first met you until now. Paul gives us some more insight from Philippians 4, 15 through 18. And you can take a look at that again. But this idea that he is grateful for these people. He has a tenderness for these people. And he wants others to know about this. He wants them to know it as well as he's writing it down that others would know it. So what is their partnership? It's the good work that God started in them with generosity and hospitality. And again, this church helped them. Paul wrote these words down so that, again, people would be encouraged to do the same. The idea of generosity helped them to do their ministry, and this started from the early church. If you want to go back, you can take a look at Acts chapter 4. Think of this. And I think it's interesting that God wanted us to know about this man named Joseph. And this man was willing to help the church in Jerusalem. And what's interesting is that the apostles actually changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas. It says that in Acts 4. It says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one that the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. See, God wanted us to know that people were all in. That people saw the need in order to share the gospel, to see this happen, they were willing to help those who are going out and doing it. Another one, 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. And Paul is talking about here the churches of Macedonia. And if you remember, that's those Philippians, the Bereans, and the Thessalonians, which is now and today, that's Greece, Bulgaria, Turkey today. But here's this early church and what they did. One of the things that's interesting, he doesn't mention individuals. He mentions them as a whole, the churches as a whole. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Now I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, their wonderful joy and deep poverty have overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it all in their own free will. They begged us again and again for the gracious privilege of sharing in the gift for the Christians in Jerusalem. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was dedicating themselves to the Lord and to us for whatever direction God might give them. See, isn't that, those are people who see the need, see good leadership, and are willing to follow. Willing to do what it takes, because it wasn't just money, and it wasn't just money that Paul was after. It was of their time, their service for God. Paul wanted them to be commended for their generosity. basically a way to say thank you. So if you would go back to Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 5. See, one of the things that was so important to Paul was that they were sharing in the ministry as co-workers in sharing the gospel. They had faithfully supported Paul financially, no matter where he was and imprisoned. They sent not only funds, but also Epaphroditus. Mentioned him last week, but he's part of this. And he was there to minister to Paul's need, for Paul's needs in prison. And you have to remember that a prisoner in those days was not given much from the prison itself. They needed to rely on family members and friends who would be able to help meet their needs. So this connection that had been formed early and had remained throughout the years meant a lot to Paul. And you almost have to wonder, did Paul have a relationship with other churches like this? You see it in the Ephesian church. You see him share with them, but he truly cared for these Philippians even more. One of the things that I wanted to also share with you, and from verse 7, again, if you're looking at Philippians 1, verse 7, you can take a look there. But for pastors and congregants, part of fostering good relationships is ministering together, sharing the good news, evangelizing together, doing the work of the ministry, as well as fellowshipping with one another. See, that those two things together, that's what does it. That's what knits us together. So one of the things I wanted to do, wanted to ask Rick Simmons to come up, and he's going to share a little bit. I asked him to share a little bit from a thankfulness and appreciation for all that this church has done. So, Rick, if you'd be willing to come up.
So like a year and a half ago, whenever Pastor Doug left, and we were as leadership faced with the responsibility, tasked with the responsibility of directing the church. We had obviously been involved in that prior to, but all of a sudden, like, the responsibility level went up just a notch or two, right? There was a lot to chew on, a lot of things to do. And we wound up asking ourselves, how are we going to do this, right? That was what we saw. So we stood in front of you on a regular basis, and we shared needs, and we talked about things that needed to happen in the church. And this is what I can say. I can say that God was faithful, but you all were very faithful in your commitment to this body, to prayer, to one another, and it was obvious, right? I don't want to say that nothing got missed, because I'm sure somebody could correct me on something like that. Oh yeah, you missed. You know what? I'm sure that you could do that. But what I can say is that the ministry of New Buffalo Alliance Church thrived, even in the time of, we'll call it uncertainty, right? Because can a church survive without a pastor? We're grateful to have one, you know, but the Lord guided and you responded. You know, I'm amazed at how many people, I'll say stepped up, but just really lived the things that you were already prepared to do inside the church, right? You're already in spots. You already had positions. You just stepped in and you did what was necessary, possibly even in a bigger way than you had prior to, or what have you, right? And it's been a real joy to be a leader. It's funny that, you know, we look and we say the leaders, just you guys actually for the greatest part took care of the New Buffalo Alliance Church over the last year and a half. And we as leadership just really had the privilege, as well as tasked with the responsibility, to be able to guide and say what things needed to be done. We wound up chewing on a whole lot of other things that were interesting and difficult, but you all made that task rather light, honestly, because of your faithfulness and your commitment. And here's what I know about leadership and so on in the church. It's organic, right? It just happens. As we live for the Lord, as we all walk together, you know, in our commitment to the Lord, as we focus on Him, give credit to Him, as we focus on the Word of God, as we do all those things, we are all benefactors, and we all have the ability to grow through that, right? We could say, well, nobody sat me down in a class and said, you need to do A, B, and C, and then at the end of it, we'll give you a gold star, and you are now a disciple of the Lord, right? This is not how it works, right? It works that we are all committed together. One of the greatest blessings for me, it happened today, actually, right here. The little greeting time where we all actually have the opportunity to greet one another in church, that's just not something that we do to kill 3 to 5 minutes. I'm sure we can find something else to fill 3 to 5 minutes of time, you know, but it gives us the opportunity to relate with one another, right? How often do you come to church and just stare at the back of the head of somebody else, don't really, you know, have the opportunity to interact or whatever, but we purposefully, with great purpose, give one another the ability to interact. I am amazed at how God worked through this church in my life over the, I'm sorry to admit, 40 years that I've been coming to this church, right? God has been good and bringing me along through that whole time. Good, faithful people, you know, carrying on the work of the church and then passing that down, right? Passing that down. They got to the point where they were like, okay, well, you all need to, you're now charged with the opportunity to step into those roles and do those things, right? We have thriving ministries that couldn't possibly happen without the participation of everybody that's sitting in the pews right now, right? We have thriving ministries that couldn't possibly happen without the people that faithfully pray behind the scenes for those things to happen and for the Lord to work on behalf of all those things, right? I mean, we all understand the necessity and the power and the importance of all that. So it's with sincerity that as I represent the group of elders this morning and stand here in front of you, that I say with a grateful heart, thank you for the work that you do here in New Buffalo. The work that we are all called to couldn't happen if we all didn't kind of step forward and do the things that God's calling us to do. And you know what? Here's the thing that I can say. We could all do just a little bit more, couldn't we? We could all just commit a little bit more to be a little bit more like God, catch a little bit more of the mission, the vision that Christ had as He calls us to share the gospel with the lost, you know, and we could be all that He wanted for us to be. I thank you for being those kind of people, and you all are an encouragement to me and the rest of the leadership here at New Buffalo.
Thanks. I just thought that'd be good to hear from your head elder. And just, again, not that he... That was one of the things that has impressed me about this church is the leadership. And, again, and the fellowship. It's just been truly a blessing to Kate and I. Like, keep moving on, but as we get into this last part of what we're looking at today, this appreciation for the partners in ministry, Paul is thankful for them. Why? Because they were willing to share God's word. We're going to get into that. So next week is week. If you want to think about what is the gospel, I'm going to ask you next week what it is, because it's important to understand what it is, so that we can share it. So we'll be talking about that. But what they did was, Paul wanted them to have the desire to be filled with love. And that's one of the things that you see here, that they might have the spirit of discernment, and that they might be filled with acts of righteousness, those fruits of righteousness. And that's that idea of having pure motives, being blameless. But let's look at that a little bit more. Look at verse 9 through 11. One of the things that I liked about what Paul is saying here is, don't stop. Keep going. You're on a roll. Don't hesitate. Continue to go. And if you remember, that's along the lines of what Rick was saying last week. He said, giddy up, is what he said. It's time to keep going. don't stop. And it is very similar to what Paul is saying. It's you're gaining momentum and keep going. And what is kind of neat about this is Paul's not talking about mere sentimentality. Instead, it is love in the truth. It is love that exhibits itself in action. See, this is love in action. What Rick was talking about was love in action. You're doing it. It is love in a way that God has shown love to us. And it must be exhibited by giving. And it should be shown by knowledge and understanding of what it is that pleases God. So this love is both intelligent and active. And if you want to look at some other verses, look at John 3:16, how God gave. Galatians 2:20, how Paul saw himself. And Ephesians 5:25, how Christ gave to the church. And then if you look at verse 10, Philippians 1, verse 10, this love must be tested in actual life situations. So you just went through a year and a half of testing, if you will. Testing helps us to know what is worth doing and what is not. This is what we all need to do. We need to learn to discern between worthwhile and worthless things. Things that would keep us from loving others. We need to be freed from those obstructions that would keep us from loving other people. And then verse 11, just to continue with this, it's that idea of being blameless, having those fruits of righteousness or rightness, but it refers to motive rather than action. I can't tell your motive. I can see what you do, but I can't see what's going on in your mind. But this blameless idea comes down to motive. And again, it is not that we're sinless and we want everyone to be sinless. That's impossible this side of heaven. But this idea of being more in thinking with God, you're more that having a little bit more of that moral perfection. But blamelessness implies right motives. To sum this up, this is sanctification. This is what that progressive sanctification that I've been hearing quite a bit here at this church. This character building, this growing in your faith. That is what we are to be doing. I reached out to Pastor Pete this week. I asked him, if you were to put down a couple of sentences, what would you say about your time at New Buffalo? Of course, that was not an easy thing to do. You heard a fair amount from his last sermon. But he sent me, while he's on vacation with Ellen, he sent me a text. He said, I deeply appreciate the level of camaraderie with various servant leaders at New Buffalo. From teachers to deaconesses, volunteers to elders, the Awana team members to the worship leaders, there was a very organic connection and love for Ellen and I. And he said, that's what makes us miss you all the more, and one I will have fond memories of. So that's Pastor Pete. And I just appreciated that he was willing to share that. But this principle for this week, to express appreciation for those involved in the ministries here at New Buffalo, here within the Alliance, the bigger body of that, there's so many good things. And as we go out to share the gospel, and we have different opportunities to do that. So this morning, Christ is our all. He is our life. Are you giving your vitamin G? Anybody have an idea what vitamin G is? Because if you're a nurse or something like that, you're like, vitamin G. Because that's what I thought. I didn't come up with this. But I like what it has to do with, and that vitamin G is gratitude. How are you doing with gratitude? How are you doing with joy? Are you thankful for all that we have in Christ, including the church, including the leaders, including the programs and ministries? Are you appreciative of that? Are you grateful for that? Are you amazed at all of what you have in Christ Jesus? And I want to encourage you. This is something that you don't just keep to yourself. That's part of that greeting time. But share it with others. Encourage others in this. Let them know that you're grateful for them. Are you getting and giving your vitamin G? I want to encourage you to build others up and express appreciation to those who are generous with their time, talent, their material possessions. You know that they're praying for you. You know that you can go over and shake their hand and give them a hug. All that is so important to happen in a church. So we're going to have the praise band come up. We're going to do a song, and then we will have the benediction at the end.